Hello, book lovers. My name is Thandolwethu Tubinda, and you are listening to Just Reading with Thandolwethu. Thank you so much for stopping on by, and I really do hope that you will enjoy this one. Now, before we even get into it, please don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell another friend that we are just reading with Thandolwethu. I am back, Botala. I am back, Bolavi. Listen to me when I say it took me a lot, okay, to even get where we are right now. It really took me a lot. The book that I am reviewing this in this episode, I nearly said this year, the book that I'm reviewing in this episode is a book that was published last year, and I had the pleasure of attending the book launch of this one. And let me tell you something, like, that book launch was everything and more. I just knew from that book launch that this was going to be a ride that I am going to enjoy, okay? And I think after the book launch, I did buy myself a copy, and I thought, you know what, I'll read this book when I feel like I am ready to truly, you know, immerse myself in it. And when the year started, I thought, you know what, I'm going to save this for my birth month. And I did just that. And, you know, when I started reading this book, I thought, if this is the only book I read for this month, ngizoba right. Like, ngizoba right. And I think I finished this one in about 18 to 20 days. So not too bad, okay? Not too bad. But without further ado, let's get into today's review. So the book that I'm reviewing today is titled, What's Your Money Personality? Changing the Way Black Families Manage Their Finances. And the author of this one is Uvangile Makwakwa. This book was published in the year 2023. And the publishers of this one are Pan Macmillan South Africa. So what is this book about? And this is straight from the book. It says, when it comes to money matters, are you a lioness who leads the tribe, a dolphin who ducks and dives, or an ostrich who buries their head in the sand? This first of its kind book explores and unpacks the intricate world of money archetypes in Black families in South Africa. Discover the secrets behind your unique money personality and unravel the intricate web of culture, generational, and personal influences that shape your financial behavior. Eye-opening antidotes, relatable case studies, and expert insights empower you to understand, embrace, and transcend your money archetype. What's Your Money Personality will change the way you view and manage your individual and family finances. Ah, that is a mouthful, but it's definitely a mouthful that got me so excited. I was like, this is definitely a need, okay? And I think already from that, you can already tell that this is just not your regular finance or money management book, okay? You can see that this is just not your how to budget, how to save, how to invest. No, pay yourself first. This is not that girly, okay? She is not here to tell you that, because she thinks you should already know that, okay? Not judging you, but she's saying, I'm hoping by now you know those things, but I actually want, you know, to move you a step further. I want you to, you know, go further than just drawing up a budget. I want you to understand, you know, the cause of you not even wanting to draw that budget up. I want you to understand the cause of you not even following that budget through. I want you to understand how you prioritize the different items on that budget. Listen, this is your girl. And if there's anything that you need to hear in this episode today, is that this is your girly, okay? This is the book you didn't know that you needed, okay? But let me tell you something, you need it. Okay, so let's move on. Who do I think should read this book? I think this book is literally for anyone that feels, you know, a need to change their relationship with money and their relationship with their family thereof. So literally anyone and everyone, if you're really just seeing a gap in your money management or how you react to money, this is definitely for you. And even if you think like you're the best of the best where money is concerned, I think there is still room to gain and learn more, you know, where money is concerned and your relationship with it and your family is concerned. I think also this book is also just good, you know, just to understand other people and understand how they are wired and understand why they don't do things a certain way. A lot of times we expect people to be or do things a certain way, but because we don't understand them, it doesn't make sense to us. But I think this book for me sheds so much light, you know, in how so many people do things. And because I read this book and I could actually pick up that I think this archetype is this person, I think that archetype is that person, I was able to better understand why people act the way they do. So this was good. I loved that. So let's move on to the shadow archetypes that are described in this book. So there's five of them in total. There's the fixer, there's the sweet one, there's the destroyer, there's the runaway, and then there's the eternal child. And what I want is, you know, as I just read a description of each of the archetypes, I really just want you to think which one, you know, you believe you are. And I think the nice thing about, you know, these things is that we don't necessarily have to be one archetype only. We can have, you know, different, you know, characteristics of each of the archetypes. You can be a mixture of the archetypes. So as you're listening, just, you know, think of where you think you fit in. Okay, so the first one is the fixer. Fixers need to fix everyone and keep everything together. As children, they do everything exactly right so as to keep the family from falling apart. If they can't break this pattern, they can become adults obsessed with being perfect. And let me tell you, I didn't even have to think twice. I didn't have to even read, you know, the portion of the fixer a second time. I already knew that, this is me. I am such a fixer. And one thing about, like, being a fixer, a lot of times people, you know, will feel that you're very controlling, you know, because you want things done in a certain way, you want perfection from everything, you want, you know, to always be the one that tells people, hey, there's a way of doing this, there's a way of doing that. And a lot of time that doesn't sit well with a lot of people. So yay, fixers must fix it. That's literally all I'm gonna say. Fixers need to fix it. They need to get it together. Okay. Okay, so the next one is the sweet one. The sweet one will flatter and pretend everything is good. They will shut down and numb themselves because their nervous system is too overwhelmed to process what's happening around them. So they respond by flattering. So this one, I know a lot of people that fall under, like, the sweet one archetype. The sweet one is like the peacemaker in the family, or the peacemaker in the relationship, or the peacemaker in your group of friends. Like, the sweet one is just the one that wants to see everybody grand, even at their own expense. And I'm just like, the sweet ones also are very selfless. Like, when I look at a lot of people that I know that are selfless, like, I think my husband is definitely the sweet one. Shame, man's just always wants to make sure that everybody is happy. That's all. That's all that matters to him. Like, just nina ibani grand, you know. So yeah, that's the sweet one. I think also my mother also has, like, you know, a bit of this personality trait. I think my granny also was a sweet one. My granny was a sweet one. My granny, like, you know, sweet ones, like, at some point you just think, guys, no. At some point you just need to choose yourself. Like, that's how I always feel when I react to sweet ones. But this actually made me understand them so much better. Anyway, let's move on before I get carried away. So the next one is the destroyer. So the destroyer acts out the family trauma in living color. They tend to become the external embodiment of the family's trauma by mirroring the family's dirty laundry, responding to whatever is happening by going into fight mode. So the destroyer, and you know, when I read this one, I thought, you are a tense word, you know, to use, a harsh word to use. But I understood it the more I read, you know, the description. The destroyer doesn't necessarily mean you're out there to destroy everything, but the destroyer just mirrors all that is bad in the family. You know, the destroyer will air out your dirty laundry. Like, you look at the destroyer and you already know, Oguti, in that house, this is the issue. So that's the destroyer. And then the fourth archetype is the runaway. So the runaway, the runaways leave home and never look back. Broadly speaking, these children check out, daydream, live in a fantasy world, party, hang out with friends, experiment with drugs and sex at an early age, for instance. Their core trauma response is flight. So the runaway, you know, what I read also in the book was that the runaway doesn't necessarily just run away physically, but they're also people that, you know, tend to run away from their feelings. things. So they don't want to address a lot of things. So they'd rather just, you know, put it in a little box and act like it's not there, you know. So that's the runaway. And then the last one, the eternal child. So the eternal child is stuck in their childhood or teens. This is the child who never grows up, one who is always financially supported and looked after by everyone else, especially their parents. And I think how they also describe the eternal child, these are mostly people that will not want to move out of home, so they stay at home, and even if they do work, they still, you know, want to be looked after. Even if, you know, they do have the capability of finding employment, they might choose not to be, you know. So those are the five archetypes. Do you think you know which one you are? Please do leave me a comment on my Instagram page if you've discovered who or which of the archetypes that you think you or mostly relates to you. And then we go on, obviously, this book, you know, says a lot of the reason why, you know, we are these different archetypes and we do react the way we do to money is because of our childhood trauma. And what I found very interesting in this book was that it was addressing the fact that trauma doesn't have to be your lived experiences. You know, trauma can be the lived experiences of those that came before you, so your ancestors. And I like the fact that this book also made mention a lot about ancestors and the importance, you know, in this whole chain, because a lot of times we might think, you know, the reason we are the way we are is because of the things that we've been through. But sometimes you don't even have to be there to experience, you know, your parents or your grandparents going through things for those things to affect you. And, you know, the more I read just, you know, on that being explained, the more it made so much sense, because a lot of times, like, we go through things that we don't even understand. You're just like, why, you know, where did I pick this up? But, you know, the more I read this thing, it made so much sense that, you know, some experiences still haunt us, even though they were not even our experiences, even though we didn't even live through, you know, those experiences. So then the book then goes on, you know, to share or, you know, just speak of the fact that, you know, once we've all healed and done the necessary work in healing, you know, all of those barriers, all of those traumas, all of those lived and, you know, not lived experiences, you know, once, you know, these shadow archetypes are healed, they turn into golden archetypes. And the golden archetypes basically refer to the positive aspects of a person's personality. So the fixer will turn to the sovereign one, the sweet one will turn into the boundaried one, the destroyer will turn into a renovator, the runaway will turn into a grounded seeker, the eternal child will turn into the evolving adult. So this is just basically saying, after you have taken back your power, you become the best version of yourself. And with the best version of yourself, it means you can show up differently. And when you show up differently, it, you know, changes your life, it changes how you react to money, if you're a parent, how you parent, if you're in a relationship, how you are to your partner, and in the family as a whole, it also, you know, changes how you show up, thus improving the relationships, you know, in the family. So I really did love that. So then let's move on to a few, you know, of the things that I liked. Okay, I'm saying a few, but I'm looking at the list and it's so long. Let's move on to what I liked. Okay, so I really did, you know, love how each of the archetypes were explained so well. I loved also that, you know, each of the archetypes were supported by case studies. So you actually just got to see, you know, and get a more in-depth explanation of, you know, the different personalities and see how it actually impacts, you know, people's lives. And also just get to see how sometimes it's not even your lived experiences, but, you know, if it has happened to someone else, then it also does have an impact on you. So I really did love that. I also loved, you know, that the book, you know, provided so many resources that one can check out and also, you know, use to do the inner work of healing their childhood trauma. So I really did love that. I also loved, you know, how well explained the golden archetypes were and how it showed that we are not, you know, our traumas. You know, we can always heal and be and do better. You don't always have to be, you know, chained down or prisoned by your traumas. You know, there is always room for you to learn, always room for you to heal, always room for you to be better, you know. And then I also loved the fact that this was not your typical money management book. This was not your typical money management book. It was so much more, and it tackled the very core of the issues and problems, you know, that we face in Black families. Like, this addressed the core issue. A lot of times people, you know, will say, oh, Black people can't, you know, save money, or what's wrong with Black people? Like, when you have, you know, money, you finish it. And you know referencing shows such as I Blew It, you know, and you're just like, why is this happening the way it is? But this book explained so beautifully why things are the way that they are. I also loved the fact that the book made mention of Black tax and also its impacts on an individual. I think I enjoyed it even more because the previous one of the previous books or recent books I just read was also on Black tax, the one by Ndumi Hadebe, titled Handle Black Tax Like a Pro. So I really did love that there. Also, I also loved, you know, the pairing of the archetypes to show which ones were more compatible. There's a section in the book where the author basically just, you know, pairs the different personalities and says, you know, this one and this one could do well together, this one and this one not so much, but if they work on 1, 2, 3, then they can be compatible. I loved that. I really did enjoy that. And then lastly, I just loved how, you know, this book addressed how each, you know, archetype acts in different roles, such as being a child, a parent, in a relationship or marriage. I loved that because it showed that we can be a certain archetype, but it doesn't mean that we're going to react the same way in all of our relationships, you know. So I really did love that this book shed some light on that too. So let's then move to the two things that I didn't like about this book. I really did, you know, feel like this book was a bit too long. I thought, wow. And I think the last time I did, you know, share the number of pages of the last book, apologies, I forgot to do that at the beginning. So this book was 350 pages long. And anyone that knows me knows that I just don't do well with long books, okay? This was literally a long book. And I really did feel like it emphasized a lot of things a little too much. So yeah, so that's just the first thing. And then I think the second thing was just that some of the case studies did not live up to my expectations. I don't know what I expected from some of them, but I really did feel like some of them were just short of something, not sure what. But I think overall this was definitely a good book. And I think we've come to the end of this episode. Again, I will not emphasize this enough, okay? Please do get yourself a copy. It's definitely a book worth reading. And thank you so much for listening all the way until here. And as I always say, remember to do everything out of love. Mwah, mwah, mwah.